And the servants asked the landowner, "Didst thou not sow good seed in thy field?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are blessed and edified today in the hearing of this parable of our Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds. And in this parable, we hear of a landowner who sows his field with good seed, but at night an enemy comes and oversows the field with tares, or weeds. And as the plants are growing up, the servants come to the master, and they say, "Should we pluck out the weeds? Why does it have tares?" He says, "An enemy has done this." So that they say, "Should we pluck it out?" And he cautions them, "No, because if you tear out the weeds, you'll tear up the wheat. And let us wait until the time of the harvest. And then we'll harvest up the tares. They'll be bound in bundles to be burned, and we'll gather them out of the wheat." Then it's later in the Gospel of Matthew, where this parable is recorded for us, later that Jesus did the record of Jesus explaining the parable to him. And so the disciples ask him, "What's the meaning of this parable?" And Jesus gives the explanation. He says, and it's recorded in Matthew 13, verse 36. They say, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." And Jesus answered, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So this parable is instructive to us in our own pilgrimage in the faith and helpful to us in many different ways. If you think about it, first of all, the Lord is explaining to the disciples that the field is the world, and in the world there will both be the children of God and the children of the devil. It's a binary here. It doesn't say any other kind of child. It's either a child of God or not. And Jesus will say, "If you're not with him, you're against him." So, side by side, these plants are growing up in the field. And side by side in the world today, you have those who are given their lives to Christ and who are his and whom he dwells, living right alongside those who have no thought for God or who are his enemies. So, side by side, you have them growing up together. Now, this is something that is helpful to us because unknown, or I should say, sadly, it's all too common for Christians to be scandalized when they find, something in their midst where somebody is revealed to be a real sinner, an unrepentant sinner, even somebody who's really done evil things and is a child of iniquity. And so, this is quite a scandal. But I will encourage you not to be discouraged when that happens, because Jesus said it will happen. Right here, right alongside his children or the children of the enemy. And when one of those is revealed, even if they're opposing as a child of God, we may be scandalized, but let's not be discouraged. I mean, doesn't it even happen in the church that there are sinners who are revealed? They're found out. And they come to create a big scandal because they were entrusted even with authority in the church. But their hypocrisy is made known. And now it's very, sad and shocking to see this. The fall of a man or woman from a place where they were respected and admired as a follower of Christ, and now they're seen to have been following a different master. And it's scandalous. But be not discouraged. I mean, did you think it would be some other way? Did you really think it would be different than that? Jesus tells us very forthrightly in this parable that it's not going to be different. There will be the wheat and the tares side by side. Now, some might say, "Well, let's get busy about this and clear out all the evildoers." And we hear in the parable that it's not time for that yet. It's not time. Why? Because when the plants are young, they're indistinguishable from each other. But once, even if you're able to sort of identify one, if you pluck it out, what happens when you pull the tear out? The weed is too tender at that time and it tears it out once. So you can imagine, Jesus, or you can see how Jesus here is saying, now is not the time for that judgment, that final judgment. There is too much opposite that would happen. In the normal course of the world, the sinners were judged now. It's not the time. Wait until the time of the harvest. Now, if you think about it, if suddenly we called down fire from heaven, all sinners, and there were lightning bolts that hit every sinful person right now that is a child of the enemy, not a child of God, a lot of disruption would happen, right? The pilot in the airplane takes the judgment, and the airplane. What about, there'd be a lot of parishes without a priest. There'd be a lot of kids without parents. I mean, pilots, priests, and parents, some or other essential services. I mean, if you really think about it, you depend on a lot of sinful people doing their job in the world for your sustenance and well-being. You want to take them out right now? You want to have God judge them and they're, out? But we're not ready for that. That's not the time. And it's more than that, too, because we see something here. We might be on a little crusade to clear out the evildoers. But we're not the ones to make that judgment. The parable is very clear about that. In the last day, it'll be the Son of God who makes that judgment. Jesus himself will be the judge. He will send his holy angels who do his will, and they'll do the separation. It's not for us. We're human beings. We're not angels. And we're fallen human beings. We're not the Lord. We think we can judge others and know the secrets of their hearts, but we do not know the secrets of their hearts. God knows. He's the one who will judge. We're not to make the final judgment. If you think about it's very common for people to create political crusades for the cleaning of house. And to punish the evildoers and clear them out. But let's not forget the wisdom of Alexander Solzhenitsyn that he speaks about, or that he tells forth in his Gulag Archipelago. One who survived the prison camps of the Russian regimes. Here he says in his treatise, the Gulag Archipelago, he's getting his experience as a political prisoner. And he says, but this is only my experience. And don't think it's a political treatise. Because, by the grace of God, I could have been the one wearing the jackboot, kicking the prisoner down the hole. He said, it's just too easy to think that we could find the evil people and take care of them. He said, how simple it would be, right? If we could just isolate all the evil people, put them together, and kill them. Then we'd be done, right? But he said, no. Because the line between good and evil, it doesn't cut between the social classes. And by extension, I'll tell you, it doesn't cut between male and female. It doesn't cut between the races. The line between good and evil is not cutting between the races. The line between good and evil, Solzhenitsyn says, cuts across every human heart. The line between good and evil cuts across your heart and mine. It's not the time for this judgment. That time will come. We're not the right agents for that judgment. It's Jesus and the holy angels. And besides, what do we find now? We may be fatigued with people who are evil and all the wickedness that is happening in the world now. We may be saddened by this. And yet we find that God is patient with this. St. John Chrysostom says something very illuminating about this parable. And it kind of pushes the parable into a different understanding. He says, in essence, there's no biological determinism in God's garden. In the field of the world, yes, there are children of God and children of the devil. But God is patient, waiting to bring judgment, waiting for some to repent and amend, that they would turn from the weeds into wheat. may be waiting for me. God is patient with me. I am a repentant sinner. And God willing, all of us will be repentant sinners to prepare for a very holy and blessed plan, self-examination, repentance, so we may be cleansed anew. For we see God is waiting for others, us and others, to repent, will we not fall into condemnation and suffer the consequence of sin, which is death, eternal death. Jesus is very clear about that when he speaks about the everlasting fire. God is patient. He desires not the death of the sinner, but that they would repent from their sin and live. So it is really for us to look at the example of Saul, one of the great enemies of the church. And God worked in his life conversion. He would be a master builder of the church. So we see the power, the transformative power of love that can take an enemy of the church, Saul, and bring him to be a builder of the church, St. Paul. That is what we should pray for. It's very easy for us to put people in a little box and say they're the evil ones and have no hope for their redemption. But we should pray for them. We should pray for our enemies. Back to the divine command, pray for your enemies. Pray that God would convert their souls, bring them to repentance, bring them to worship and adore God. Maybe right now they're weak, but they can become weak. Let us pray for that. I remember a story of a conversion story. A woman in California who was a terrorist, one of her co-workers, and she teased her about her Christianity. This woman was very, a sweet woman, but her colleague was just really nasty to her, bullied her. And she prayed for her, and one day this woman, the antagonist, she was in her garden and she was doing her garden work. She was pulling out some weeds around her flowers, and she heard in her mind, clear as a bell, just as you tend your garden, I tend mine. Just as you're pulling weeds out of your garden, I'll pull weeds out of mine. And now you are weak. That woman, it struck her right to the core. It brought her to repentance and then to a place of apology and reconciliation with her colleague that she'd been tormenting at work. This is the power of love. And may we pray for those who are enemies of Christ, they will come to repentance. And may we, with careful searching by the power of the Holy Spirit, search out in our own hearts where we need to repent in that. We would be completely ready for the coming of our King. For he will come, as he said. In the parable, it is clear as day, Jesus will come again. And so we await that with humble and repentant hearts for the coming of the King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.